Don't worry too much about the fate of the BBC television program Top Gear. It is all in hands of Ronald Coase. Coase, who lived from 1910 to 2013, and yes, the math is correct on that one, was the economist who stumbled onto an elegant theorem, as it's called, that bargaining over an economic externality will lead to an efficient outcome, no matter who is originally assigned the thing, if there are no transaction costs. To put that in plainer English, if someone finds a goose that lays golden eggs, that goose probably won't get cooked. The party, whoever it is, that can get the most eggs from the goose has an incentive to outbid everyone else for it, including the person who found it. The Coase theorem involves several assumptions, one of them being the existence of a marketplace in which everybody has pretty decent information about the goose. But that assumption would seem to apply to Top Gear, which is a most prolific avian for the BBC. Supposedly the franchise and its licensed knockoffs bring in some £150 million a year. Now, to pause for an interest disclosure, journalists tend to like Top Gear because two of its three hosts, Jeremy Clarkson and James May, came originally from print newspapers. They're not especially handsome or even well-groomed, but at fairly advanced ages, they somehow turned sarcasm and mischievousness into a planet-blanketing business empire, suggesting that there's hope for us all. Clarkson got into trouble on the evening of March 10th, when he returned late from a day's shooting to a hotel in the Dales of Yorkshire. The big fellow was keen on a hot meal, but the hotel's chef had been unwisely permitted to abscond, and Clarkson settled his wrath upon his longtime producer, Oisin na Tighman. Witnesses described Tighman as receiving a spectacular barrage of verbal abuse, and one newspaper is reporting that Clarkson punched his colleague, and there are other reports that Tighman was called a lazy Irish, and then there follows a word which Maclean's cannot print and which I cannot say on audio for Maclean's. Anyway, the BBC suspended Clarkson. It canceled the three episodes of Top Gear that were remaining in the current season, and it arranged an internal hearing. This problem is kind of fascinating, partly because the BBC has the issues that are familiar to us from our own CBC. It's publicly owned, and through a license fee, it's more or less publicly funded. And that makes its troubles public business. Clarkson has accumulated a long rap sheet of xenophobic jibes and impolitic comments. Part of the show's appeal, perhaps even in foreign countries, is this sort of ironic, rude uncle English chauvinism that has also created a legion of liberal haters. But you should note that Clarkson and his pals spend as much airtime making fun of bad British cars, particularly those of the past, as they do cracking wise about the Germans and the French and the Belgians. By Clarkson's own admission, he is already pretty high on the brown list with the BBC's human resources apparatus. Striking a coworker is pretty nearly unforgivable, and he does seem chastened. In a Sun column that appeared after the incident, he wrote about dinosaurs, literal dinosaurs, being a, quote, mistake of nature that were, quote, too big, too violent to live. No one, he scribbled sadly, mourns their passing. That hasn't stopped some fans of the show from suspecting a grand conspiracy to destroy the glaringly white and male Clarkson. If there is such a conspiracy, he has certainly helped it along. Maybe he's ashamed mostly of his dumber defenders. Is punching people an actual privilege to be asserted by white male TV geniuses? But punching somebody in the face does have one great virtue, as life mistakes go. It is all essentially between you and the punchy. Top Gear almost certainly brings enough money to the BBC to cover the hurt feelings, and even within limits, the physical suffering of a grown man. Be honest, isn't there a sum of money you would agree to take in exchange for being hit once and never speaking of it again? From a standpoint of justice, if not that of honor, it would seem better for everybody for Tighman to get oodles of cash rather than for Top Gear to disappear while he contents himself with an official corporate declaration that, yes, the guy who thumped you was in the wrong. If it is not possible for the BBC to finesse the problem thus, there is always Sky Broadcasting. Contracts of Clarkson and his co-hosts, James May and Richard Hammond, run out in April. The format of the show is mostly Clarkson's invention, and there is no guarantee that the laddish Clarkson-May-Hammond triple act, which helped propel a dry consumer affairs program into a world franchise, could survive the transplantation of a member. As a business proposition, the trio are obviously more than the sum of the parts, so they will probably stick together wherever they end up, if Coase was right, and if the assumptions bear up.